He had a great spiritual ability to unfold God's plans as he spoke to people concerning their dreams. And this is why it is very, very important that you understand what God has for you. That you understand God's spiritual gifts that he's implanted in you. God has gifted you with abilities to edify the saints and to reach the lost. Do you know what yours are? Do you know what your spiritual sweet spot is? That thing that gives you passion about God, the thing that drives you. See, Daniel found favor among the heathen. He found favor among the pagans. He found favor among the idol worshipers. He found favor among those that did not worship or honor his God. He became a trusted advisor to a king. He held a privileged position. And holding that privileged position really angered some of those that were of the like kind of the king, that worshipped many gods and went the ways of the world. And those people would particularly generate a plan, as we read, to demise and kill Daniel. Following God would lead Daniel to great heights and tremendous lows. The great faith of Daniel got him out of the lion's den. The great faith of Daniel put him in the lion's den. And what if our measure of faith, that's just a thought, what if our measure of faith is not how lofty our theology is, how educated and wise all our doctrine, nor our measure of faith how lowly we can self-sacrifice, beat ourselves, and turn ourselves into humbleness? What if that's not also our measure of faith? What if our measure of faith is the distance between the highest high and the lowest low, and still maintain your faith? Some people have some incredible highs, but they don't have a lot of lows. They've always been privileged. They've always had it pretty good. They've always had it pretty easy. Then there's others that have just been so low all their life, they've never had anything come into their life. They've never had any good experience. They've never, see, Jesus came that you would have an abundance of life. What does an abundance look like? Birth and death. New life. What if the measure of our faith is the distance between our highest highs and our lowest lows? And we maintain our favor and our focus upon God. Doesn't matter how high we get or how lofty we become, speaking to kings and advising kings, our favor and our focus is on God. Does not matter how low we go to the point of being surrounded by lions and people wanting to kill us, we find our favor and our focus upon God. The book of Daniel concludes, if you keep on going through the rest of the chapter, it concludes with a series of visions and dreams. See, this is all, Daniel had a great spiritual gift and God worked right through him, right? And that occurred over the reign of several different kings. Over the reign of several different kings, Daniel maintained his faith and God utilized him with visions and with dreams. Daniel served with excellence. And the visions dramatically outline God's plan. Are you ready for the end of the age? Many of us know that. The age yet to come. Not the ushering in of a new covenant. Not the ushering in of the Messiah. No, no. Not like Isaiah. No, no. The ushering in of the end of time. That's how spiritual Daniel was. That God would talk to him about the return of Christ. Daniel had spiritual abilities living among the pagans. So this is your next slide. Do you have spiritual abilities while living among the heathen, among the pagans, among those that are lost? Are you Holy Spirit filled living among the lost? Are you Holy Spirit filled living among the cursed? Among those that God has not shown his favor to enlighten them or reveal Jesus Christ to them? See, this is one episode, one chapter of Daniel's life. What we're talking about, Daniel in the lion's den, and we love to talk about it. You know, that whole experience is probably 30 days. 30 days of Daniel's life is described. He's had a lifetime of experiences with God. And we're looking at maybe a month worth of time. Daniel knew who he was long before any situation ever arrived. Daniel knew his God long after every situation had been gone. He maintained his focus upon the Lord. He knew the Lord guided his life through the highest of highs and through the lowest of lows. He had a great measure of faith. Do you know your God? Do you have that measure of faith? Are you that focused? Are you that committed? See, God was in control. Right there in Babylon, he was in control of Daniel. He was in control of all the captives. He was in control of the king. Despite what we may think, despite what we may see, despite what we may feel, God is in control. Who runs the government? You think your president runs the government? God is in control. It doesn't matter who's king. What are you looking at? This earth, this world, this government? Or are you looking at the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords? God is in control. There's your next slide. God is in control. We just need to stand on that faith as Daniel did, regardless of the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. Someone observed once, only the mediocre are always at their best. Excellence is always striving for a deeper relationship. Excellence is always striving to be able to have a pursuit of more, a desire of better relationships with others and those that are around you, stronger and a better relationship with God. See, the line between success and failure is really quite small. It is not coincidental that some people excel while others kind of barely get by and fall away. There are reasons why we achieve and there are reasons why we fail. Sometimes people have excuses, but there's reasons. Daniel broke the mold of mediocre living. He broke the mold of mediocre spiritual living. He excelled in a social and in a very political environment where the majority of his countrymen, they were just content to be in the status quo. Daniel excelled. Faith in God. When examining Daniel's life, you'll quickly discover that his fame, and we're talking about 30 days, maybe, of his life. You'll discover that his fame did not happen by chance. Instead, you'll discover that there was a rise to his power that can be traced back to a very few decisions that he made. If you're like me, I'd like to know, what kind of decisions is Daniel making along the way in his life that would prepare him to stand up to a king, threaten to be in a lion's den, and then escape the lion's den? First, it's character over comfort. Character over comfort. It's your next slide. The closest I can kind of relate to this a little bit is when I was in the 82nd Airborne Division. Long before I ever got to the 82nd Airborne Division, we were going to be part of a package platoon. What does that mean? That means out of the gate, from day one in basic training, we were put with a group of 40 other guys. And those 40 guys, we were all going to go through basic together. We were all going to go through nuclear, biological, and chemical warfare together. We were going to all go to airborne school together. We were all going to go to air assault school together. And we were all going to get stationed in the elite unit of the 82nd Airborne Division and be part of the Defense Readiness Brigade for the United States of America. All American, baby. Double A's right there. From day one, we knew what the goal was. We knew how to get there. And you know what? So did our drill sergeant. From day one, when we would run with a company. So you can imagine, a platoon, 40 guys. Another platoon, 40 guys. Another platoon, 40 guys. That makes up a company. Okay? From day one, company, attention! And we'd run. Run. We'd run. Our required 2 miles, right? The basic, you had to get 2 miles, you had to run. So they would train us, they would work us, they would train. And we'd run our 2 miles and we'd get back. Whoo, that was awesome. Airborne platoon, step out. And 40 of us would have to step out and run another 4 miles. We hated that. And all those other people, all those other platoons, oh, it sucks to be you, man. Oh, terrible. That's awful. Hey, laughing at us. And we're running and running and running. We'd go around. They'd run 3 miles. They'd be pulling. We'd go for another 8. We were running 8 to 10, sometimes 12 miles a day. I hated it. And I hated my drill sergeant. And then we all graduated, whole company. And then not everybody made it. 30 of us now go to airborne school. So we're in another company. Here we are. All right, company, we're going to run 4 miles today. And you hear everybody go, oh. And we look at each other and go, yeah, baby, this is a good day. Why was it a good day for us? We were well prepared for where we were going. And you know what? We would be running that 4 miles, that 6 miles. People dropping out like flies, man. They fell out. You'd never see them again. In fact, when we would run, they would have a truck behind us. If you fell out on the run, you jumped in the truck, I never saw you again. We were well prepared to be where we were in the lion's den. And it was not easy. But to be part of something unique, special, elite, you better be prepared. Or achieve the mediocre. Even in your spiritual life. Are you well prepared in your spiritual life? Or is mediocre okay for you? Some of you might need me to be your spiritual drill sergeant. I'm okay, I can do that. You need to run a little more. If you need to run the extra mile in your spiritual life, I'm the guy. I can do it. I know what it is that motivates you to get you out of that chair, get you into a Bible study. You can choose not to. You just got in the truck. Just get in the truck. Okay. See you next Sunday. Because an hour a week on a Sunday is all you got for God. What if that's all he's got for you? I know everyone's busy. I know everyone's got family. I know everyone's got work. I know people got kids. They got friends. They got events. They got excuses. But I know people drop out like flies because they're not conditioned. in their spiritual life to carry on, particularly if they ever find themselves in a lion's den. And I can promise you, with a lot of the political environment and the kings we got, you're going to find yourself at times in the lion's den. It's coming. A lot of Christian people, right? A lot of the churches, oh, it's got to be the end of times. You just know it's the end of times. You can see it. It's just getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And you know this is the end of time. You know Jesus is coming back soon. You know. Are you ready? Because the things that you're talking about, it's going to get worse before it gets better. Are you ready for it to get worse? Are you spiritually ready to walk that walk that you keep talking? Are you ready? Are you prepared, airborne? Because listen, you know, some of you know this, because we just can't go some of the way. We got to go all the way. What is God doing with us as a church? What God's doing with us as a church is awesome. But listen, it takes extraordinary leadership. It takes extraordinary conditioning. It takes extraordinary commitment. Can we handle the spiritual next level? Can you go from basics to aerosol school? Are you ready for what it takes to do that, to be there, to get? We need prayer warriors. We need qualified lay leaders. We need evangelists and teachers and ministry teams. We need open groups and closed groups and men's Bible studies and ladies' Bible studies. Healthy people build healthy churches. Over his lifetime, Daniel developed a reputation. Over his lifetime, he was prepared for that moment. He was prepared for many moments. We're looking at one moment, 130 days in his life. He was known to be honorable and ethical. He was known to be above reproach. He was known to be a God-honoring man. When no one else honored his God, he did. And his closet was clean. Even Daniel's enemies could not find any problems with him. He was trustworthy until it came to his God, right? At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel. Sounds like politics. We're not talking about the issues. Now let's talk about the person, right? Character means something, does it? Against Daniel for his conduct of government affairs. We can't find anything. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, they said, we will never find any basis of charges against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God. Are you ready? Are you really ready for the spiritual attacks that are going to come against you for your God? That's all you got? That's all you got. You're going to pick on me because of my God, my faith. That's all you got? Pick on me for my faith. Could I pick on you for your lack of? That sounds like equality to me. Unfortunately, we're living in a time when it's extremely easy to compromise our integrity and our faith. So what if I steal a stapler? I can trust you in the smallest of things. Maybe I can trust you in the biggest of things. But if I can't trust you in the smallest of things, who cares? Listen, who cares if I sleep with another man's husband? Who cares if money's my only option, right? It's all my only motivation. It's the only thing I care about. Greed is an acceptable motivator. It's an acceptable motivator in our society today. Just call me Shark. It's easy to compromise our virtue because when this type of behavior has become the accepted norm and it's all just mediocre. I know maybe some people that thinks like it's flashy, but it's mediocre. At best, it's mediocre. It's easy to compromise our virtues and our behaviors, particularly when we think no one's watching. I can promise you this, such compromise will cost you the joy of fellowship with the Lord. It will cost you. It will cost you the fellowship of the Lord. and his favor upon you. When you're not looking at him anymore, when you're looking at money, you're not looking at him anymore, you're looking at girls. When you're not looking at him anymore, you're looking at other men. When you're not looking at him anymore, you're looking at cars. You're looking at stuff of this world, which all goes away. We know the end of the story. I've read the last chapter. What are you focused on? That which is temporary or that which is eternal? And God's trying to get you motivated. Look, look at what's eternal. Run the extra mile. In your life, strive for ethical and moral purity. Be spiritually strong like Daniel. Be willing to be ready. The word is different. Be ready to be different, because he was different. And folks, we're getting to become very different. Are you willing to be different? See, and at times the modern church is more often, it complements rather than contrasts or contradicts the behaviors of the world. Our behavior should reflect something different than the rest of the world. Break out from the company. Break out from the company. Pull out. Get yourself into a nice platoon and run. Run the extra mile. I promise you, it's something that's elite. I promise you something that's deep. I promise you something that's amazing. It's more than mediocre. It's more than the rest of the army. You're part of something very special. And God wants you to be part of something very special. And you are something very special. Unlike many of his contemporaries, Daniel chose character over comfort, over that which was easy. He had the courage to be different. Here's your next one. He had discipline over disorder. Among other things, Daniel had a very disciplined prayer life. We read in our passage here, 3 times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God. And in this particular passage, he asked God for help concerning the situation. Daniel was doing what Daniel always does. Daniel was doing what Daniel does. He prays. He serves as God. He's honorable and ethical and moral and a man of integrity. And people around him didn't like it. The reasons why some people succeed while others fail has little to do with their abilities. Many of our failures can be traced back to a very absence of discipline, a lack of self-control, a lack of consistency, a lack of repetition and repeated efforts, right? Or the unwillingness to step out from the company and do something different, do something elite, do something magnificent. I picked on some areas that where most of us kind of need some greater discipline. Now, I recognize I'm going to step on some toes here, and I hope you receive it from the Lord as if it's from the Lord, because it is. I picked on some areas where most of us need some greater discipline. Are you ready? Control your tongue. You need to discipline your tongue. Many times we speak before we think. You're already moving in the wrong direction. More people are run down by gossip than they are by cars. And although you would never consider gossip a lesser sin than, say, murder, gossip kills friendships. Gossip can slay a family. Gossip murders a church. Gossip assassinates a person's character. They were gossiping about Daniel. You may have heard this before too. Great minds discuss ideas. Average minds discuss events. Small minds discuss people. We must all learn to discipline our tongue, particularly the way in which we might speak about another brother or sister in the Lord. And it's interesting to me that Daniel did not petition town hall. He petitioned God. I'll touch on that maybe a little bit, but he didn't try to convince a pagan nation. Isn't that amazing? See, the king made a decree. You will honor and you will worship and bow down and pray to me. And Daniel just went about doing what he does. He didn't have a conversation. He just kept doing what he does. Kept his mouth shut and went to God. Far too many run their mouth instead of running to God. Ready for your next one? Consistent devotion. Need a more consistent devotion. I wonder, do we have the right to complain about the absence of prayer in public when there's an absence of prayer in your home? I get this. You've heard me say that before. I get petitions all the time. Pastor, would you sign the petition? We need to get prayer back in school. Man, if we just get 1,000 names, we get a prayer back at school. Say, are you kidding me? I can't get prayer. I can't get moms to pray with their daughters. I can't get dads to pray with their sons. We need prayer back in the home. You get prayer back in the home, I promise you, it's going everywhere. And those parents will want it in the public schools. Consistent devotion. What are you focused on? What are you looking at? Should we defend the Bible in public, yet deny it in our own privacy of our own homes? Do we have the right to complain about the moral decay of America if we fail to pray for our own nation? Daniel was a man of prayer. And it didn't change because the environment around them changed or because they made a decree. You will not pray to that God, you'll pray to this God. He did not change. He stayed focused right where he was. He was devoted to his God. He had a consistent devotion. And it didn't matter how high he rose or whether he was taken from his own country. He stayed committed and devoted to his God. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. Three times a day, Daniel got down on his knees and prayed. Three times a day, Daniel got down on his knees and prayed. Three times a day, Daniel got down on his knees and prayed. I can't be as good as Daniel. Can you be half as good? Can you be a third as good as Daniel? A third as good. Pray once a day. Maybe it's as simple as this. Lord, it's been wonderful today. Already it's amazing. Thank you for waking me up. No confrontations today whatsoever. It's amazing. I'm about to get out of bed now, so please stay with me. That counts. I promise you that counts. Just as much as hitting the pillow at night and your head's on the pillow and you're just going, Lord, please forgive me. And would you forgive those that know not how they hurt me? That counts. Be consistent in your devotion to God. Can you soap once a week? The church asks you to soap. I'm telling you what's being preached next week. Can you read the scripture? Can you prepare yourself? Can you step out of the rest of the company and march along reading the soap and getting yourself prepared for what God might want to say to you so you don't arrive here cold, discouraged, that you show up going, I read the word of God. I have no idea how to apply it to my life. And God speaks to you and shows you something and teaches you something. And you become part of this elite fellowship of believers that honor God and follow God and desire. I promise you, he's just drawing you in, drawing you closer. Can I get you to soap? As a drill sergeant, I'm telling you and I'm asking you, soap the scripture. You know what I'm preaching on next week? Read it. You got all week to do it. Or mediocre. Do you want God involved with what it is you're doing, but you don't want to be involved with what he's doing? You want to be involved with all the fellowship, all the things happening in the church, but you don't want to cook any lasagna for next week. Church, Good church experience. Here's your next one. One of those few things we need to get better at. Good church experience. There are a lot of unhealthy churches. There are a lot of unhealthy pastors. I know. Bad attitudes, bad spirits about them, terrible personalities, bad outlooks, killing their own wounded, judgmental, impatient, unwelcoming, cold, prudish, snobbish, no life, boring. Many churches beat up their pastors, complaining, never volunteering, ignoring, never joining. Thank God there's none of that around here. See, folks, a fundamental question we must ask ourselves, this is a church family. Are people better off for having come here? Are you better off for having come here and sat through this for an hour, 90 minutes? Are you better off for having done that? Are you better off and say, you know, I want to seek a little bit of God. Maybe God's here. Maybe. Did you find it healthy? Do you find healthy people around you? Are you better off for having come here? People need good church experiences. And you know what makes a good church experience? An experience with God. I'm not after, hey, it feels good, it sounds good, it looks good. No, I'm after the God that is good. A good church experience is an encounter with God. That something inside you stirred and went, whoo, yeah, that's right. Or something inside you stirred and went, ooh, I better bite my tongue. God will step on your toes. And that's okay. If you hate your drill sergeant, I know what it is to hate a drill sergeant. I know what that's like. But it's in preparation for you to be the absolute best for God. We got any God seekers out there today? We got some? We got a few? See, I need to be in an environment that challenges me, that challenges my perceptions of life and dealing with people and dealing with the lost and dealing with the cursed and dealing with the saved. I need to be in an environment that offers me an opportunity to learn and to grow and to utilize my spiritual gifts, my spiritual ability. I need to be involved in a place where I can receive some godly wisdom when I look at somebody and say, you know, I'm struggling with that. Will you pray for me? Will you pray for me with next week's sermon? I'm hoping that when you soap, you're praying. I need to be involved in a church that would encourage me and my wife to stay together, to be together, to love each other, to escape sometimes together. Why don't you guys just get away for a while and go? You need to be around people that encourage you and love you and pray for you. Who prays for you? I put somebody up here every week. We're going to pray for them. As a church family, your name's coming. I'm going to pray for you. We're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for you. Who else prays for you? Upholding you when you're about to go to work? Who else is praying for you? A place that offers hope in the midst of a dog, in the midst of a dark world. Daniel excelled because he chose discipline over disorder, right? He chose that. He chose to tame his tongue. He chose to be devoted to his God, to belong to a holy people, to have a good experience. This developed Daniel to become strong. And here's where he became so strong. And many of us have this question mark in our own life. Daniel didn't have this question. He had the answer long before it ever came. Ready? Love over life. Love of God over life itself. He chose the love of God over life itself long before a situation ever arrived. A new law had been decreed. No one was permitted to pray for the next 30 days, and anyone caught doing so would be fed to the lions. This law was really nothing more than a smokescreen so that some people that were trying to incriminate Daniel to stop praying. And it wasn't long. Daniel heard about the law. He knew about it. When Daniel learned, verse 10 says, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published He went to the courthouse and he signed a petition. No, that's not right. When Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he made a picket sign and he marched around in protest. That's not what he did either. When Daniel learned about the decree and that it had been published, he wrote a 3-page blog and put it on Facebook. When Daniel learned about the decree that had been published, he went to the king and tried to call in all the favors. When Daniel learned about the decree and that it had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where he had gone countless times before, where the windows were open towards Jerusalem. And 3 times he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God, just as he had done time before that. He had made that decision long before a circumstance ever came up. And I'm very convinced that Daniel was not interested in being dinner at the Lions Club. But when faced with a decision, it wasn't even a decision. He'd already made that decision. He was already walking the walk. He was already talking the talk. He was already living the life. Wow. Many of us like to have that conversation. Would I deny Christ if a gun was put to my head? And we like to think we'd have that kind of faith. Don't we ask ourselves that? I don't know if I would deny. Would I do that in the midst of a school shooting and I was the teacher and somebody put a gun to my head and said, you must deny Christ now or I'll blow your head off. Is that decision already been made? Or are you still contemplating that? You see, the elements of faith, highest of highs to the lowest of lows, it's the measure of faith that you have. Oh, it's all dependent on a circumstance, is it? Your faith is dependent on a circumstance. It's giving the circumstance way too much credit. Daniel's first allegiance was to God. He loved God, believed God, followed God. What do you love more than God? Life itself. Is your love for Christ more important than your ambitions? Is God more important to you than the acceptance of family members and peers and coworkers? Is Christ more worthy of pursuit than power? Is Christ more worthy of pursuit than possession? What is Christ worthy of? There's an old chorus that reads like this: Lord, you are more precious than silver, more costly than gold, more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire compares to you. It kind of sounds like this.
Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire compares with you.
What's your testimony this morning? What's the measure of your faith? Will you choose character over comfort? Will you choose to be consistent in your devotion to God, regardless of the circumstance around you? And is there anything, anyone, more precious to you than your God? Let me pray for you. Father, in this place, this very day, I'm humbled by your presence. Thank you that you indeed work within our hearts and within our minds, and that you mold and shape us, that you transform us, that you actually make us think. Thank you that you are not dead, that you are a living God, a living stone. You are alive and reigning. And your Holy Spirit fills this place, and may you continue to minister among us, in us and through us, that you would receive all honor and glory. Thank you for your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray, amen. Amen.